I've got the sparse, the sickness, there's the twins in my brain.
The Aero Bullet Special, Remco Evenepoel did it again. After an impressive time trial with a huge chainring, he finished it off in the final stage. Only 6 days till the opening weekend, so Volta ao Algarve was the perfect preparation for a lot of riders. Let's review last weeks of racing action. I'm joined once again by Ethan. Hi mate, how are you?
Hello, very good. Thanks for having me on again. It was a nice weekend.
Let's dive right into it, shall we?
Yeah, let's dive in.
First stage, a stage for the sprinters, but it was a stage with over 2,000 altitude meters, so it was quite a tough terrain, certainly in the first half of the stage. Can you take us through the last 2K, how it developed, and what were your things you saw and not noticed?
It was a lot of chaos. It was a big split, wasn't it, in the peloton? A lot of riders got dropped before as well, which I noticed, the chaos. But Intermarché did a perfect job, really, I think. But Tudor as well. Tudor could have won if they didn't mess it up, in my opinion.
Yeah, they messed it up with... in the first stage, they went for Trentin. But they messed up in the last on the last roundabout, if I recall correctly. But my surprise of that day, or a surprise maybe, was Lars Boven, because he was held up by the leadout from Herben Thijssen, the rider who eventually won the stage. But Lars Boven had the speed to finish certainly on the podium and maybe battle Thijssen for the stage win. I don't know if you saw it the same way.
I saw it the same way as well. I also seen it that Thijssen could have really lost as well. He got really boxed in.
Well, what kind of rider is Lars Boven? Because the guy came from Jumbo-Visma development team last year, now came into Alpecin de Koenig, a World Tour squad, and gets a lot of chances already in Tour Down Under. You can see him as a real sprinter, but he's not a climber either. What kind of guy is he?
It is like our favorite word last week, enigma. You can't really choose a specific one, can you? He's like a punchy guy. He's like a kind of like Groves, I'd say, maybe somewhat along those lines, where you have insane fatigue resistance.
Yeah, I like the guy. The guy is just, he comes out of nowhere. Within the Devo team last year, had to do a lot of dirty work in the peloton. Riding at the front of the bunch, crawling back the breakaway, but right now he gets his chance and he proves his worth. So I love to see it. One last thing, maybe for the first stage, Arnaud Démare. Arkea did an awesome job positioning him, but then they screwed up in the last K as well. Démare didn't have pretty good legs either. He seems like he faded quite early in his sprints. What do you expect further on from Démare? Because he always rides some classics as well. He doesn't seem in the perfect shape right now. Does he have to worry at this point, mid-February?
I wouldn't say mid-February. That's not where really you're peaking for, are you? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I'd say, yeah, peak for the classics, and then all the UCI points that Arkea need is where he should be shining.
After the first stage, designed for the fast men, the second stage was designed for the GC men, the climbers. It was a stage that ended on Alto de Foya, a pretty nice ascent to finish a stage on. It was a stage with a total of over 3,000 altitude meters. So once again, it was not too tough, but still all those efforts were in the legs before they started the final ascent. And then, wow, Daniel Felipe Martinez did something huge.
It was an amazing effort. I just love it. How everyone was just talking about Remco, including us on the podcast before. And Martinez just goes, poof.
It was so insane. Like, Remco starts his sprint way too early, but actually instead of Martinez doesn't sit in the draft of Remco, he just rides next to Remco and just punches it to the line without having to sit on his saddle. The guy was insanely strong, and we will talk about him later in this review. He did it again in the last stage, but damn, Ineos let him go to Bora, and he already proves that he's more than just an average climber.
Ineos have really messed up, in my opinion, letting him go there.
Yeah, he was quite inconsistent his last years with Ineos. He was quite good in certain stages, but then he faded or had an off day. But right now, he proves that he is very strong in the span of 5 days. He's good second stage. He rode a decent individual time trial. He won the last stage. Is there something wrong with training within Ineos? Because a lot of riders are leaving the Ineos Grenadiers. Back in the days when it was Team Sky, they were the team to beat. And right now, they lose their talent. And it seems like the guys that are leaving the squad are performing very good in another team.
Maybe it's like a toxic environment, maybe as well, because I've seen as well another article this week on GCN that literally Team Arensman was saying the biggest come and get me plea to all the World Tour teams. I don't know if anyone's read it, but he was just saying basically that he didn't like it, any of us, in kind words.
It's very weird because they have an awesome history with Chris Froome, with Bradley Wiggins, but they are completely outdone by the teams like Visma Leasebike, like UAE Team Emirates, and they are now Magnus Sheffield is their GC hope. I have to be honest, it's quite a pity to see Sheffield as a Grand Tour of a general classification rider. I liked him more as a classic rider, but nonetheless, Sheffield isn't the guy that's gonna beat a Pogacar, a Vingegaard, an Evenepoel in a Grand Tour or in a general classification in a stage race, in my opinion.
There's not going to be many people, though. Let's be honest. Beating there.
Another lovely sight in the second stage was Theo Hagenhardt, or whatever you have, or however you pronounce it. The guy, it was awesome to see him back on the bike in a professional race within his new colors, little track. And I think we can both say he performed very strong, and he performed above expectations, certainly above my expectations.
Certainly, to say he's not ridden a bike in a race 9 months and to go and get seventh, beating Wout as well, specifically, that type of finish where he's a favourite, is quite impressive.
Yeah. When we saw that final ascent on Alto de Foya, there was a lot of wind. There were even some doubts to cancel the last 2Ks, but still they did all the whole climb. But that last K when Landa was at the front, it was like a sort of echelon, an uphill echelon, because we saw Wout drop out because he was right in the gutter and just couldn't keep up with the pace anymore. That turn from Landa was impressive, and it shows a bright future for Evenepoel to have such a luxury domestique.
That was what I was about to say. Landa at Quickstep with Remco, that looked really promising, in my opinion, for the future. And if he performs like keeps performing like that, then there's a real battle on.
Yeah, the squad in general in Algarve was very strong. Sudal Quickstep went to the Portuguese stage race with their Grand Tour squad, and they showed they are ready for the tour. The third stage, the second and last chance for the Fastmen. It was always the question, is Wout van Aert going to sprint, yes or no? They're always people who say he's going to rest up for the individual time trial, he's going to rest up for the GC, he's going to rest up for the classics, and all sort of other things that people mention. But the guy decided in the last 5Ks to join the sprint, and he casually beats everyone.
Yeah, to go and beat Tyson, Mayweather, Oliveira came second. He just literally got it to perfection when he sprinted. Just, it was like 150 meters or something like that before the finish. And it took the air and went bang, didn't it?
They brought him into the perfect position because of all of that rumors, all that stories, no one was really looking at him. And it was all about Herben Tyson, Rui Oliveira, Meyerhofer. But no one thought about Wout van Aert until he was in the perfect position and launched his sprint with 150 meters to go. It was an impressive sprint. I think it's a boost for his confidence ahead of the Omloop het Nieuwsblad on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely kudos to Meyerhofer as well. He worked for Trentin in the first stage. He got his own chance in the third stage. Getting on the podium, and he has a very strong start of the season, starting in Australia, if I recall correctly. The guy is a bit the same maybe as Lars Boven. I don't see him as a real sprinter, but more as a guy who has a very strong punch and who can survive quite a tough parcours.
Yeah, that's a good comparison, in my opinion, as well. He was also very strong last season, if I remember at the start. He won the Cadet Evans Ocean Road Race. So, yeah, he's going to be one to watch, in my opinion, for these races coming up. He's next in Omloop het Nieuwsblad.
Yeah. Ooh, is he lining up in Omloop het Nieuwsblad?
Yes.
Ooh, that's actually quite entertaining. It's an entertaining name because I don't know how his results were in previous classics and previous seasons, but it seemed like he has a very good fitness at this point, and he can maybe do a Ballerini if the weather conditions are the same. Probably the weather conditions aren't going to be the same, but that's for the Omloop het Nieuwsblad preview later this week. But then we're into the penultimate stage already of this one-week stage race. The individual time trial, 22 kilometers from Albufeira to Albufeira. The peloton wasn't there to party, but was there to suffer on a time trial bike. And we mentioned in the preview that this would be the deciding stage in Algarve. And it was deciding. Remco Evenepoel lined up at the start with a huge chainring, and the guy just, I saw a lot of performances from Evenepoel on the time trial bike and on the road bike, and still when you see him on that time trial bike, just pure raw power. It's insane.
It's literally like a bullet train. It's just, you sit there and you go, no one can even come close to him on the time trial, which is crazy. Maybe Tarling, but he's just crazy. Beating Kung as well by 30 seconds. He was a TT specialist, basically.
It's 30 seconds on an effort of 27 minutes. That's extraordinary. But I saw a tweet from our domestique colleague Dieter Loos mentioning he pushed 6.7 watts per kilo during that effort on a time trial bike. So into that tucked position, 6.7 watts per kilo. I sometimes try to do some efforts on my indoor bike on Zwift. And to reach 6.7 watts per kilo, you don't want to see my face when I do such efforts.
That's going to be you and the Marmot. If you manage to even get a sniff of that for even like a minute, basically. Oof.
And he's doing it in a tucked position for 27 minutes. Oh, extraordinary.
The Ganner as well, beating him by nearly a minute.
Then another surprise for me, Isaac Del Torre in fourth. So the guy can't only climb. Can't only surprise a sprinting peloton, but he can time trial as well.
Yeah, that's what I think people were looking out for, really, if he could time trial, because in his juniors, it was not really. He's done. What's he got here? Prologue. He did in the Czech race, 56th, 15th in the Sibutite cycling tour time trial. So yeah, the UAE setup must be very good.
Did he already have the special handlebars, the personalized handlebars, like Evenepoel or Ganna has? I didn't really watch it, to be honest.
I couldn't the custom really
extensions. I don't remember anymore.
I'm trying to remember now as well.
Yeah, because I saw an article on GCN on Eurosport, and they were linking it with Kian Uytebroeks, that he wasn't able to get that custom extensions when he was at Bora Hansgrohe. But I don't recall if it was the bike from Isaac Del Toro that they were talking about, or that it was the bike from someone else. It was the bike from Theo Hegenhardt, or Heo Gegenhardt. Mm-hmm. You have to pronounce that name the next time.
Theo, that's how you say it, Theo.
But like Theo, he had the custom extensions, so that shows that Little Trek believes in the Grand Tour ambitions that Theo has. He didn't perform that strong in the individual time trial, but I think when he gets back into his racing rhythm a bit more, and when he rides 3, 4, 5 more time trial, that he will do a bit better again. He will not be competing with an Evenepoel, but if he stays as close as possible, a lot can happen in a Grand Tour.
Yeah, that's what he needs to do, just really get the miles up on the TT, I think, because it's not going to be beating Remco straight away, is it? So.
Yeah, true. Other things that you saw in the results of the individual time trial that you say, damn, that's impressive, or that's disappointing?
Tratnik, I see there's a guy on Twitter who really believes in like GC Tratnik. He got 10th, so yeah, that's impressive for him as well.
Yeah, I saw that as well. Where did Tom Pidcock finish? 26th on 1 minute 30. He mentioned he worked on his time trial during winter because he has GC ambitions. Losing 1:30 on Evenepoel in a 22 kilometers time trial. James Shaw, Steven is beating him. Vacek. I'm not convinced yet.
It's not looking good from one, but. Bertrand Hagnes as well. Dave, 19th. That's not bad from him as first season in Team Visma-Lisa bike. Morgado, 15th.
Yeah, it is and Perstrand Hagenes is a perfect bridge towards the final stage. Stage 5, finished on Alto de Malhao. Why is it a perfect bridge? A lot of people will say, well, he was part of the Visma Leasebike plan when Wout van Aert attacked with a little less than 40k to go. He just went all in, and yeah, to see where he could get. Maybe he could win the GC even, but it was mainly preparation, a last preparation for Omloop het Nieuwsblad and Kuurne, in my opinion. But still, Hagenes did an awesome job pacing Van Aert towards the front group at the time, with James Shaw in there, and Healy joined Van Aert. But before the second ascent of Alto de Malhoa, they were caught because Soudal Quickstep did an awesome job. They didn't panic. They just, the gap was 1:40 at the one moment, but the Portuguese time gaps aren't very reliable. But 1:40 and just Knox, Cataneo, Landa brought that down. And Wout van Aert, Healy and others were caught at the start of the climb of Alto de Malhao. I saw a comment on our live thread on X saying that Van Aert, his form isn't good. Do you have an answer on that? Or, yeah.
I'd say I'd partially agree with it, in my opinion. He just has looked a bit cooked in especially stage two. He looked a bit cooked there. But as long as he's fine for the Classic, that's, as a fan of his, that's what I'll be happy about.
He starts his Classic season in 6 days with the Omloop. Do you expect him to win it? Is he the top favorite for Omloop? When we saw how his performances in Algarve?
Yeah, after the performance in Algarve, I'd go with Tratnik, in my opinion.
Yeah. Who won the stage on Alto de Malhoa? We already said it.
Daniel Felipe Martinez.
He was able to beat Remco Evenepoel once again in a head-to-head sprint. Pidcock did a very strong performance on Alto de Malhoa as well. He was able to stick relatively close to the two protagonists of Algarve. In the interview afterwards, Evenepoel said he had to do his last 30Ks on the big chainring. He wasn't able to get on the small chainring anymore. And it killed off his legs. He said he could have won the stage without that issue. A lot of doubts and a lot of criticism again on X because of that interview. Why? Because he's not able to say congrats, Dani Martinez, for the amazing performance. And he was more talking about his own issues and that he could have won it. Are people watching too closely to everything that Remco says or mentions, or what's the problem? Because he says it and he could have said congrats Martinez, but that interview was taken 5 minutes, 10 minutes after the finish. So why does he get so much hate and keeps on getting so much hate? I don't understand.
It comes with success already, doesn't it? Let's be honest. Just people hating on you a lot if you keep on winning, and people just nitpick things to find out. But his attitude there, that is what makes him the one of the best, like picking out little issues which affected them. And it's like the mentality you need. It's what you see in all of the good sportsmen around the world, isn't it? Just that mentality of for yourself.
Yeah, he has the winner instinct, the killer instinct, and everything has to move because he wants to reach his goal. And I appreciate the guy. He like 3, 4, 5 years ago, early of his career, he was a completely different person. He was quite arrogant then. He did things on the bike that's not really acceptable, but he developed so much the last 2 years that I don't understand why he gets so much hate all the time. Every time he mentions something, there are people complaining about Remco. But still, he won the general classification. Just lining it up with the perfect individual time trial and then finishing it off in the fifth stage and finishing second just behind Dani Martinez. Another surprise in that last stage for me was Christian Scaroni. I was looking at him on some betting sites for stage five because he was performing very strong. He was 10th in stage two, I think. And I saw he was valued quite high. I think it was out of a 100, if I recall correctly. Mm. 33 for top three. He finished fourth, but Scaroni, 27 years old, an Italian from Astana, 26 years old, sorry. Were you expecting him to be so close to the podium today?
Not really at all. I was not expecting it. I know of Scaroni specifically because of one person, Joshua Kahn on Twitter.
Yeah,
I
think same,
his favorite. Scaroni's his favorite rider. So anytime I see Scaroni, I always think of him. But I'm sure he's very happy with the fourth place here.
Yeah, I sure do. So the general classification, the top five, Remco Evenepoel wins in front of Dani Martinez. Then Jan Tratnik finishes the 1 week stage race in third. Very strong performance by the Slovenian. Fourth, Ben Healy. Fifth, Tamen Arendsman. Arendsman finishing fifth, but in a quite anonymous way. He didn't really stand out for me.
Yeah,
he was just there, followed wheels. He was suffering a lot. I noticed that he tried to stick to the big group, but finishing fifth isn't bad for his first stage race of the season. Then another interesting name in the top 10 GC is Stefan Kuhn, ninth.
I mentioned that on the live thread on stage two. I said Stefan Kuhn is still, and I was like, huh? How's he still here? And then 5 seconds later, he got dropped a bit, but to get ninth is oof. And Morgado as well. It's nice to see him there. The oldest looking young man you will ever see.
Stefan Kuhn is ready for the classics. He's ready
for
the Omloop.
I think he's going to be one to watch as well.
All right. That was our small review of Algarve. Any things you want to add to this review before we go into the outro?
That's it, really. Other than
give us something tasty.
Other than to check out one rider that we are all interested in, Johannes Kuhlstedt, the Kuhlstedt Chronicles. That's live on X right now. People can get a good insight into him because he is going to be one to watch. I'm going to keep saying one to watch for riders, but that guy definitely is because his potential is crazy good.
He's the next superstar for Scandinavian cycling, for sure.
Norwegian cycling specifically. I think he could be the climbing ability.
I saw the article mentioning that Christoph's story, that it was phenomenal for him that Christoph was working, domesticating for him in that climbing stage in Oman.
Mm-hmm.
That's so nice to read because that guy is still so young and he's able to ride with one of the biggest cyclists in his country ever. So that's so beautiful to see, and that shows that those young guys, aren't all like an Evenepoel or a Pogacar. They are only 18 and they are riding with people they looked up to when they were a kid. So
it also shows the kind of like role model that Christoph is. They mentioned all the little details he's giving all the classics riders and things like that. And he's just such an inspiration to all the riders around him.
Yeah. All right. One last thing. There is another episode coming on Domestic Racing Podcast, an Omloop with Nieuwsblad preview, probably coming online around Wednesday. So make sure to tune in for that one as well. And otherwise, I would say it's a wrap for today's Domestic Podcast. A big thank you to our audience for tuning in. If you enjoyed the episode, consider supporting us on Ko-Fi. The link is in the description. And if you're on YouTube, hit subscribe and turn on notifications. We appreciate your support and look forward to seeing you next time. See you later.
Thank you.
I've got the sparse, the sickness, there's the twins in my brain.